Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin. You will notice an inverted triangle, and we pointed out at the end of our previous shiur that we left off our discussion, or sugya, in the middle of a discussion. And as such, in order to appreciate that which we are going to be learning today, it is quite important to be familiar with our previous shiur. We will not be able to spend much time in introducing today's Gemara, being that we are relying on the, taking the assumption that you are familiar with what we did in our last shiur. So the inverted triangle represents the beginning, or we should say, two questions, one here, and another inverted triangle will appear on Amud Beis, roughly a third of the way from the top at the end of the line, where we see questions raised against Rabba. We had seen in our previous year a machlokus between Rabba and Rav Chisda. This was on Mem Vav Amud Beis, regarding someone who bakes or cooks on Yom Tov for a weekday. Rav Chisda saying he's in total violation of Yom Tov and therefore deserves lashing. Rabba said no. Once again, they were arguing about someone who was preparing for Yom Tov, for Chol, for a weekday on Yom Tov. Now, Rabba had explained his position based on the concept of Ho'il. Since what he's doing now, it might appear that he's doing it for a weekday, but if visitors would come knocking on his door on Yom Tov, what he's doing would be fit for them, for their eating on Yom Tov day, so it is allowed. Because, of course, cooking and baking on Yom Tov for Yom Tov is totally permitted. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, was not looking at the potential. He says that you can bake on Yom Tov and cook on Yom Tov only if it is actually for Yom Tov day, but not looking at what it could be used for potentially. So now we pick up our Gemara, as we said, 5 lines from the bottom, a question that Rav Chisda poses against Rabba. Sholach Rav Chisda l'Rabba biyad Rav Acho bar Rav Huna. The question was sent via an emissary, and that's Rav Acho is serving as the emissary. Rav Chisda challenges Rabba, mi amrinon ho'il. Do we really accept this explanation? In other words, the emphasis of the potential, the ha'tnan. We have the following Tanaic source. You can see it's a frame, and it continues to the top of Amud Beis, and we should also point out that this is a long question, as you can see by the long question marking. He says, we have a Tanaic source in which it says, Yesh Choresh Telem Echod V'chayovin Olel Mishum Shmoina Lavim. One could conceivably plow one telem, one furrow in a field, and in doing that one act, he will be in violation of 8 negative commands. Now, as far as enumerating the 8, the details of how to count the 8, that, in fact, is a machlokas rishonim between Rashi and Tosfos and how to explain them. For our purposes, we are not going to dwell on enumerating the 8 and explaining them, but we are only going to focus on that which we dashed underline at the top of Amud Beis, where Yom Tov is also considered one of the 8 violations. So here we read the source, HaChorish B'shor V'chamor V'hein Mukdashim, one who plows using an ox and a donkey, which is a prohibition in the Torah of plowing with 2 different species of animals. That's a form of kilayim, and one who plows using a shor and a chamor, and they happen to be sanctified, the kilayim bekerim, and there is a function here. He's plowing for the benefit of mixed growths, a vineyard with grains growing in it. Shavias, and it happens to be on the Shemitah, which is also prohibited in agricultural activities, B'Yom Tov. Kohen v'Nozir, Abe Satuma, and it, we're dealing with a Kohen and a Nozir who is in a place where there is a grave, where there is Tumas Meis, and a Kohen and a Nozir are prohibited in defiling themselves. So you have eight different negative commands being violated. Amongst them is, he is plowing on Yom Tov. Now, Rav Chista asks, Ve'i Amrinan Hoyel, if, as you said, that we look at the potential, then Acharisha Lo L'chayev, regarding his plowing on Yom Tov, he should not be in violation of Moleches Yom Tov, Hoyel V'chozi L'kisuye Dam Tzipor, because it is fit for the as he plows, so there is dirt that is being moved aside. So the dirt that is moved aside is fit for the covering of blood of that which you slaughtered. In the case of the slaughtering of birds or of undomesticated kosher variety animals, when you slaughter them, there is an expectation that you will cover their blood, the blood that is spills at the point of slaughtering. So, and that's called kisui hadam. And one is mechase dam. One does kisui hadam. He does that on Yom Tov. So imagine that where he was plowing, there happened to be blood of a bird that was slaughtered. So why is he considered in violation of Harisha on Yom Tov when that Harisha was actually fit for Kisui Hadam? Omer of Papa, Bar Shmuel, Ba'avonim Mekur Zolois. The plowing took place in a ground quality that was made of stones, of Avonim, as Rashi says, Delo Chazu L'Kisui. For Kisui Hadam, one must use fine dirt, not stones. The Tosfos explains the word mikur zolos. He explains they're push rakos, they're soft. That let's continue in the Gemara. Though the Gemara asks, so how is that an answer for explaining why there is a Yom Tov violation? Ruyos lekoshan, they are fit for being crushed, and as crushed stones, they would be then useful for Kisui Hadam. The Gemara asks, but Uksisha B'Yom Tov Mishori, is it mutter to crush stones on Yom Tov? That wouldn't be allowed. So that explains why there is a Yom Tov violation. The Gemara asks, but Ru'yos L'Kos Shon Kilachar Yad, crushing is prohibited on Yom Tov if you do the crushing in a normal fashion. However, if you do it kilachar yad, means crush in an unusual way, then from the Torah standpoint, you haven't violated Yom Tov, and that should be sufficient for alleviating the need or the imposition of the lashing penalty, which the source described above as his being chayev, eight lavim, eight negative violations, which means eight sets of lashings. But if the stones are fit to be crushed on Yom Tov, so they are fit for Kisui Hadam, and that is something that you can do on Yom Tov, so what's the problem with his plowing? The Gemara answers, B'tsunama. Tsunama is bedrock, and therefore there isn't even the potential, because tsunama, bedrock, is not fit for kisui, and it cannot be crushed either. The Gemara asks, well, tsunama bar zriya, but the source above was describing a plowing situation where things are going to grow, but things don't grow in bedrock. The Gemara answers, tsunama milamala, v'ofor tichuach milamato. The situation was that on the surface there was this hard rock, but beneath the surface there was ofor tichuach, it's loose dirt. And the loose dirt is is where the plants will grow. The Gemara asks, well, the tepukle, so should you not establish that there's an exemption from the violation of Harisha Mishum Ofer Tichuach, because of the Ofer Tichuach, which is fit for the Kisui Hadam. So why then is it that he is Chayev for the Harisha on Yom Tov? So the fact remains that there is a Harisha violation. It must be because we don't say the Ho'il, since it's fit for Kisui Hadam, since if there was blood, and then this would be the method of Kisui. We don't look at the potential. That is Rav Chisto's Kasha. Elo Omar Mor Bravashi, Betino. The plowing was taking place in clay. Rashi says, Tino Tiach Tit Lach Upolol. It's clay that's damp and mixed up. The Gemara asks, well, Betino Bar Zriya, is clay place that you would plant? And the source above describes a action of plowing, which is something you do in anticipation of planting. But if the circumstances were that it's clay, you don't grow things there. The Gemara answers b'matunta. Rashi says eretz lecha, it's damp ground. Uyol is where it's fit for planting. The eno nas is offered, but it doesn't become fine dirt. In ba'al lekois shahi medabekes v'nigbelas. If you come to try to crush that kind of soil, it actually clumps. And nigbelas means it becomes something like doughy, and as such, it's not fit for kisui. So the point that is raised here as the defense of Rabo's position is that the source above describing Harisha B'yomtav as being a lav is because you're dealing with a case that it's not fit, and there's no ho'il. There isn't any potential even. But in a case that there would be a potential Yom Tov use, then that would be enough to justify the action. Esve Abaye. Again, a question of a similar nature, where Rav Chisto will be challenging Rabbo's leniency based on the potential. So the source begins. Abaye raises the question, Hamavashel gid hanoshe becholov biyomtov v'ochlo loke chomesh. One who cooks the gid hanoshe. The gid hanoshe is a forbidden nerve in the hind leg of a kosher variety animal. So one cooks the gid hanoshe in milk on Yom Tov, and he ends up eating it. He will be in violation of five negative commands. And here the source enumerates them. Loke mishum mevashel gid b'Yom Tov. He is in violation of cooking something that you cannot eat. The gid, as we said, is something that you cannot eat. So he's in violation of cooking a food substance that you're not allowed to eat on, and he's doing it on Yom Tov. So it's a non-Yom Tov cooking. Veloke mishum ochel gid. So not only for the act of cooking, but he's also eating it. He's eating forbidden food. That's another, it's a separate lav. So the first one is a lav of a non-Yom Tov cooking, and the second is a lav of eating forbidden food. Veloke mishum mevashel bosor b'cholov. The gid is meat. It's part of the animal, and here he's cooking it in milk. There's a negative command in the Torah of cooking meat and milk together. The act of cooking itself is a violation of when you're cooking meat and milk. Veloke mishum ochel bosor b'cholov. He's in violation of eating bosor b'cholov, of eating that which is meat milk together. And veloke mishum havara. He's also in violation of burning the fuel. And bear in mind that we're talking about someone who lit a fire, and this is taking place on Yom Tov. So it's havara on Yom Tov. Now, v'yi aminan hoil, if, as Rabo said, that we look at the potential, avora lo l'chayev, Hoyel dechazi leilitzarcho. He shouldn't be chayav for igniting the fuel for this non-Yom Tov purpose, because there was the potential to use this fuel for his own Yom Tov purposes. And yet we see that he is going to get lashed for lighting this fuel. It must be that we don't say Ho'il. We don't look at the potential that there is for his using it for his own Yom Tov purposes. Omar Lay, Rabbah says that the source, as it is inaccurate. Apik, Havora, take out from the list Havora, Va'ayil, Gid Hanosha Shel Nevela, and put in the a different lav. It's a lav of nevela, of eating meat that comes from an unslaughtered animal. Before we go on, we have a new marking, and on the side under the mivneh, you can see the bow tie shape represents hatsaos chilufios. These are alternative suggestions. B'mokin lokim mishum havara, instead of saying that there's malchus for the Avora, because that represented a problem for Rabbah. So take that out. The hoya mashma lo aminun hoyel v'yei kosha Rabbah. K'day lahorid hakushya me'al Rabbah. These alternative suggestions are, as we said, they're brought in to remove the question on Rabbah. And the question on Rabbah came from the fact that there was malchus, there was lashings for Havora on Yom Tov. Rabbah will tell you there shouldn't be any lashings for the Havora, even though in this case, in the Tanaic source, he was fueling a forbidden cooking, but the fueling itself could have been used, had the potential for being used for something else, or something else that's Yom Tov permitted. So Rabbah says just take out Havora and put in the list Gid Hanosha of Nevela. What's the violation there? It would be a violation for eating the Gid Hanosha of a Nevela. Nevela, as we said, is an unslaughtered animal, so he would be violated for the cooking up, for not for the cooking, but rather for the eating of this Gid Hanosha that he happened to cook in milk, etc. So what's the added malchus? The fifth set of malchus is for an act of eating. So up till now, how many acts of eating are recorded? And here's where the diamond marking is very, very helpful. There was an act of eating of gid, and there was an act of eating of bosu b'cholav. This would represent a third eating-related violation. The Gemara asks, the Ha'tani Rabbi Chia. But Rabbi Chia has a brisa that follows from this Tanaic source that we just read. He says, his brisa says, Loikin shtayim al chilosu v'sholosh al bishulo. In analyzing the five violations, Rabbi Chia describes them as two being eating related and three being cooking related. Ve'isa, if you're going to put in the Gid Hanoshe of Nevela, then then you're altering the equation, the balance. You're altering it. The Esau, if it is so that you're going to put in Gid Hanosha of Nevela, then Sholosh al Achiloso mi Boyale. Then there would be three eating related violations. And in the source as it is, you see the diamonds are only two eating related violations. Ella Apik Havora. So a new suggestion is take out Havora as being the fifth set of malchus, the fifth violation, the ayul atse muktza, and insert rather that he's fueling the fire with wood that had been set aside for something other than his Yom Tov use, commonly known as muktza. So that kind of use of wood is forbidden. The Gemara asks, muktza doraisa, who is muktza? Something that's been set aside, is that a Torah level violation? Rabbah answers in yes, dichtiv. The pasuk alludes to the muktza violation, and how is that? It says in the Torah, v'hoya b'yom hashishi v'chinu es asher yoviu, that on Friday you shall prepare that which you will be needing, using for Shabbos. So that the Torah is expecting you to set aside that which will be used for the holy day, Shabbos, or in this case, Yom Tov. The azhara, so mehach azhara, is an expression that literally means warning, but it's a reference to the negative command in the Torah before you can talk about some type of violation resulting in lashing, in a punishment. It must have an azhara. There must be a negative command that addresses it. And the azhara mehach is from the following, miloi, from loy sase komolocha, that you shall not do any constructive activity. And included in that would be the burning of muktzeh wood. Omar Lay, Abaye asks, so up till this point, before we get into this new the continuation of the Gemara, Rava will have successfully defended himself by saying that, in fact, take out your standard basic burning, fueling, lighting of fuel, that would not result in Malkus because of Ho'il. However, since you're dealing with the burning of forbidden fuel, which Rava calls Muktzeh, and Rabba said that muktzeh, in fact, is an isur d'oraisa. Omarle, Abaye raises a question. You'll notice this is a very long question. Takes you till the third line, third wide line on Mem Ches Amud Aleph. This, of course, is going beyond the realm of the Daf Yomi quota per se, but we must continue. We're in the middle of a discussion. So Abaye asks, "V'ho atu de'amris, you Rabba said, bo'i mine merav chisto, I," and Abaye's quoting Rabba, so it means I Rabba once asked of Rav Chisto, v'amri lo bo'i mine merav huna, I asked of Rav Huna, hevi se me'efer, v'shochatoi tomid biyomtov. The word me'efer, it has to do with out in the fields. It's something that was not set aside for Shabbos or for Yom Tov purposes. Rashi adds that the idea of Efer is represents or refers to animals that are out in the wilds, that are grazing, and they don't come into the settled neighborhoods for many days at a time. For long periods of time, long stretches of time, they're not in the community. So they're something that was not designated for Shabbos or for Yom Tov use. What happened over here? They brought for the Tomid. The Tomid is a daily sacrifice, a korban oila brought daily in the Beis HaMikdash, included on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What did they do? They brought a seh, they brought the sheep, which was the animal slaughtered as the korban Tomid. They brought it from the Efer, from out there, out in the wilds, out in the fields, meaning non-prepared. It wasn't designated, it wasn't prepared for Yom Tov use. Mahu, what is the din if they use such an animal? V'at amris lon Allah, and you said concerning that, the following Tanaic source. Seh, the Torah instructs us to bring a seh. The truth be told here that this is a posuk from Yecheskel Perek Memhe, posuk Tesvov, that will be expounded upon over here. But we learn the following halachas: se velo habachor, do not use a firstborn animal. Velo achas, the posuk says achas. Velo miser, and not an animal that was tithed as a miser behema, that cannot be used as a korban either. Cannot be used as it itself is a korban la miser. It itself is a separate korban known as a miser, but it cannot be used as the daily sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. Before we go too much further, we should point out that if you look in the Rashi, the fifth line under the fourth line under the Gemara text, Sevelo as a Bechor, Rashi points out, Masni Sohi, this is a Tanaic source as our markings show, Udrosho Kro di Yecheskel, and we're darshening the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Memhei, Pasuk Tesvav, Gabi Korbonos, Pasuk in the context of sacrifices, where it says, V'se achas min atzon, min omasai mimashki Yisrael, la mincho, ula oilo, ula shlomim, l'chapir aleichem, aleichem, ne'um Hashem alakim. That's the Pasuk. And now we're breaking the Pasuk down into its component parts, and we are deriving what each word teaches us. Of course, when we get to the main point, so that is something that the Gemara itself will emphasize. So we continue in this source that deals with that which you set aside that's fit for being designated as a sacrifice. Min hatzon, that's the term min is an exclusionary term from the flock, but not all of the flock. Velo hapalges. What is excluded by min hatzon? Something that is called a palges. A palges is an animal that is in its 13th month of life. The korbonos include sheep, which are something called a keves. It's a young sheep, and an ayal, sometimes translated as a ram, but a sheep is something, or a keves, a lamb is considered a lamb up till the end of 12 months. An ayal is an animal that is more than 13 months of age. Therefore, something that is during its 13th month is not fit to serve as a sacrifice. The pasuk says, min ha-masayim, mimosar shtei meos, shenishtairu babor. This part of the pasuk is referring to a non-animal offering. It's referring to the wine offering that's poured on the Mizbeach. And Min HaMasayim literally is from 200. And there's a drosha over here. The Pasuk said, Min HaMasayim, Mimosa Shtei Meos Shinishtairu Bavor. What is that a reference to? So, Mikan, from here we learn, the Orla Shebetelo B'Masayim. That in the event that you have orla is fruit during the first 3 years of a tree's life. During those first 3 years, the fruit produced from it is forbidden. It's forbidden to eat, and it's forbidden even to benefit from it. However, if orla gets mixed up in 200 times permitted substance, then it's okay. It's botel. So from this pasuk min ha-masayim, we learn that concept, that orla is botel, 1 in 200. Mimashki Yisrael, this is also from the pasuk, we learn min ha-mutar li-Yisrael. What is brought as a sacrifice? You bring sacrifices from that which is permissible. Mikan omru, from here we say, ein mevi'in nesochim min ha-tevel, that one is not allowed to dedicate untithed wine as nesachim, as a drink offering, as the wine offering. Yochol lo yavi min hamukse. Could it be that he shall not bring from that which is that which is classified as mukte? Amris, we explain. Ma tevel miuchod she isur gufo goram lo. Just like tevel is something whose deficiency is something inherent. It itself was not tithed. Af kol she'isur gufo goram lo. So too, anything else that has that characteristic, that is an inherent problem. Yotza mukze, to the exclusion of mukze. Mukze does not have that deficiency. She'ein isur gufo goram lo. There's nothing inherently problematic with the mukze, that which was, let's say, set aside. Elo isur dover achir goram lo. The Isur Dover Acher means an extraneous prohibition, and as Rashi says in one word, Shabbos. In other words, the problem of Muktzeh, it's something that was set aside for some other purpose other than Shabbos use. It wasn't prepared for Shabbos, let's say. So that, even though it wasn't prepared for Shabbos, or wasn't prepared for Yom Tov, it still would be okay as a Nesachim, as a drink offering. Now, the Gemara, and here's where the question is reaching the climax. Rabba originally had said, in order to defend his explanation of the source where he took out Havara, he said, okay, there's no lashing for Havara on Yom Tov because of Hoyil. However, there is lashing because he used prohibited wood, and the prohibition was an Isur D'Oraisa of Muktzeh. Now, we ask here, V'i Amris Isur Muktzeh D'Oraisa, if, as you, Rabba, said that the Isur of Muktzeh, an item that was not designated for Shabbos or Yom Tov use, presents itself as an Isur D'Oraisa, then Ma Li Isur Gufo, Ma Li Isur Dovar Acher. What difference does it make if the deficiency is inherent or it's extraneous? You're dealing with something that is prohibited to use. How in the world could you imagine using something that the Torah would prohibit its use and then using it as nisochim, as an offering on the Mizbeach? The Oid, and a further objection. Ho at hu di amris, you are the one that said chiluk melachos l'shabbos v'ein chiluk melachos l'yomtov. The concept of chiluk melachos literally is the individualizing or the separation of separate acts. The concept of multiple acts resulting in multiple violations, which will manifest itself in multiple sacrifices when something was done unwittingly, something was done b'shogeg. Let us say a person on Shabbos, he engaged in sewing and in writing and in making leather. Three different acts. If he did all three unwittingly, he would be chayef to bring three separate sin offerings. That's called chiluk, the separation of melachos, each melacha being causing a separate obligation, a separate sacrificial obligation. Yom Tov, we said earlier, was similar to Shabbos in that melachos are forbidden on Yom Tov, just like they're forbidden on Shabbos, with a couple of food melacha exceptions. However, that's as far as what things are prohibited. But as far as this concept of chiluk melachos, multiple prohibited violations on Yom Tov, resulting in multiple sets of malkos, that doesn't exist with regard to Yom Tov. In other words, if a person on Yom Tov violated several different acts that are prohibited, he will not be chayav for multiple offenses. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, the ein chiluk melachos liyom tov, shim also shtei melachos b'meizid, if he did two forbidden acts on Yom Tov knowingly, eino loke shtayim, he won't be subjected to two separate sets of lashings, each set, of course, 39 lashings in each set. He won't be subjected to that. In the source that we were analyzing before, the source that Rav Chisda raised as an objection to Rabba, the case of Mevashel Gid Anoshet, and that source, we are discussing Yom Tov. U'mechayvis lei mishum Yom Tov tarti. And you are explaining, you, Rabba, are explaining that there are two Yom Tov violations, Mishum Muktzeh u'Mishum Mevashel Gid B'Yom Tov. So as far as the Yom Tov violations, you have the burning of Muktzeh, which is what you are saying is a forbidden Yom Tov burning, and there's the forbidden cooking of Gid Anosheh, forbidden cooking, Yom Tov cooking. So, and that's responsible for two separate sets of malkos. That's basically saying chiluk melachos. But you have said, you Rabba himself, you yourself have said, there is no concept of chiluk melachos with regard to Yom Tov. Ela, therefore, Rabba has to defend his position of Hoil, and that necessitates deleting Havora from the original source, the Mevashel Gid source on Mem Zayin Omid Beis, and replacing it, in order to get to the five Malkos, replacing it with something else. Elo Apik Havora, the Ayil Atse Asherah. What is he guilty of? He's guilty of something that's idolatry related. Atzei Asherah is wood from an idolatrous tree. The Azhorah Mehocha, and the negative command, which as we explained before is the basis of giving Malkos, you need to have an Azhorah in the Torah, a negative command. It says, V'lo yidbak biyodcho me'umo menacherim. That pasuk is in the context of idolatry, and there is a negative man that you're not allowed to benefit whatsoever from that which is idolatrous. Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rava labaye. So Rav Acha asks if Atzei Asherah is going to be the new called non yom tov, non eating negative command, resulting in a fifth malchus, there should be a sixth set of malchus. He says, "Vinoki nami mishum lo sovi soev el beisecha." If we're dealing with something idolatrous, so there should be a sixth set of malchus based on this pasuk. Lo sovi, lo is a negative command. Lo sovi toeva, do not bring that which is abominable, namely idolatry, into your house. And yet the source says five sets of malchus, not six. So what is going to be the replacement for Havara? Havara, again, we're being a bit repetitious, but Havara was the source of the question on Rabbah, being that Rabbah says, you say Ha'il, so Havara should not have been a reason for getting Malkus. Elo apik Havara v'ayil atse hektish. Take out Havara, the actual simple burning of the fuel, that is not going to be the basis of Malkus, but what is the basis of Malkus is that he was burning, he was using as fuel sanctified wood, the Azhorah Mehocha, the Azhorah, the negative command, which is the basis of the Malkus, Mehocha, v'asheireham disruv v'esh, lo sasun kein l'ashem elokechem. The Torah says that idols you shall burn, do not burn that which is Lashem Elokechem, that which has been sanctified. Truth be told, the sukkah continues because as the Gemara goes on, there is an attempt on the part of Rami Bar Chama to take the machlokis Rav Chisda and Rabbah and establish it as a machlokis Tanoim. However, that will be a relatively convenient beginning point for our next year. So this represents we'll call it a pause so far in the discussion. Just to recap what we've seen, we saw Machlokes, Rabbah, and Rav Chisda concerning Mevashel Miyom Tov L'Chol. We saw three questions presented by Rabbah against Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda explained each one in his favor, in his own defense, and two questions were posed against Rabbah, and we saw Rabbah defending himself. As far as the last question that had been raised from the case of Mevashel Gid Anoshe B'cholov, we had a question that was raised from the fact that there was Malkus for Havorah. So Rabbah said, delete Havorah from the list and replace it with a different lav, a different negative command. The Gemara went through a number of bow tie markings. You can see how they were marked off as the sugya went on. And we saw, about four attempts, the fourth one being accepted, and what should be the replacement. And we've eventually found Atzei Hekdish as being the replacement lav, thereby defending Rabbah. Just to remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.